Tango Tango Popple 1941, December 21st, 2015.
Have we seen the actual reality of a monstrous crime? Or merely an illusion, the product of a tortured brain?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Tom Wiles here with you, coming to you from home. I have been home for, I guess, a few days at this point. I'm on vacation. I got home late Thursday evening. Originally, I thought I was going to be going back to work on January the 11th. However, it seems in the meantime that my asset manager changed the date that I'm going to be going back to work to January the 2nd. So at first I thought, well, I'd call her up and kind of discuss it with her. Because that, you know, we kind of went back and forth on the Qualcomm, and that's what she came up with. But then I thought, well, really doesn't matter. I'll be, you know, go back a few days earlier, and you know, January 2nd is fine. So that's when I'm going to be going back to work, on January 2nd. So that's that. So anyway, it's been pretty nice weather. I guess it's pretty much that way over most of the country. Warm kind of weather. And it's going to be, at least in this area, and probably a lot of areas, they're saying upwards of 70 degrees Christmas Day, which is that's nice. But it's the weather. And you know, it's kind of like buy now, pay later. And so I think we made some pretty good down payments last year, last winter, last fall and last winter. There were some, you know, it was pretty cold. Remember when the propane price shot up because of the cold weather? So that, you know, it's kind of averages out over time. And so now we're, it's kind of like dollar cost averaging, if you're familiar with the dollar cost averaging concept with investing. Only it's weather. So I don't, I tend not to read too much into the weather. If the weather's nice, enjoy it. And if it's bad, you know, enjoy that too. You know, you get what you get. So anyway, I've got the reason I'm doing a podcast, I've got some little bit of feedback from I don't know, I guess about three different people, a couple of voice files and email, and so I thought I would go ahead and do a podcast while I have the opportunity. My parents and I are going to Oklahoma City, I think, on Wednesday. My youngest niece had a baby. They ended up kind of taking it earlier than they thought initially, because, you know, she had a few little problems, and so they went ahead and decided they would take the baby a little bit, you know, a little bit early. They didn't have to put it in an incubator or anything, but they went ahead and took it early, and so since the rest of their family, you know, my brother's family, had a year ago, they had all decided that they were going to go to St. Thomas for Christmas, you know, the U.S. Virgin Islands. And that was before my youngest niece got pregnant, and so it just so happened that the baby was going to be due right around Christmas time, and so they they all had to, you know, since they'd already paid, and you know, they couldn't really cancel, because once you're in those package deals, if you try to cancel it, you're just kind of probably out the money. So they all went ahead and went, and my parents and I are planning on going over there to Oklahoma City and kind of give my niece and her husband and their new baby they're going to cook dinner for them and what have you, so, and have a kind of a little Christmas thing for them. So that's what we'll be doing. Heading over there on Wednesday. So, and then I don't know how long we're going to stay there. So that may tie some time up. And then once we're back, then there's probably going to be more people visiting here. So I might as well go ahead and do a podcast now while I have the opportunity. Because I don't know, how busy I'm going to be over the next few days. So I did end up buying an Amazon Echo. The Echo has been around for a little while now. Initially, it was available only for people that signed up for it, and you had to have an invitation to receive it or to have the opportunity to buy it. And then now, you can buy it. And so I ended up buying one. There was a presentation on QVC. And they had it for about $180 with free shipping. And so I went ahead because I'd thought about getting one of those. And so I went ahead and ordered one. And I have to say, those things are pretty neat. Being able to talk to it, you think, well, it's just a voice assistant, and you got a voice assistant. If you have an iPhone, you've got the Siri voice assistant built into it. Or if you've got a Google, an Android phone, then you've got the Google Now voice assistant built into it. This really isn't quite, when it's part of the room, and, because if you're talking into your phone, it's one thing, your phone or your tablet. But when it's part of the room and you can just talk to it kind of as part of the room, and this thing will retrieve information for you. You can get it to play music. You can get it. You can kind of tie it to different things and get it to do things for you. I think if you there are people that are really into the home automation thing. If you really are obsessed with it, you can get it to do all kinds of different things if you've got different types of home automation gizmos set up. But just the ability to get it to add things to like a shopping list, that's pretty powerful thing to be able to do that. Sounds simple, you think, I can just write that down, or a lot of times I'll think, well, I need to get such and such, and then I promptly end up forgetting it. So if you can add it to a to-do list, and then the neat thing about it is that it adds it into the app on your phone or your tablet or both places. It just adds it into the app. Then once you get to wherever you're, to the store or whatever, to the department store, then you can, or the grocery store, then you can just open it up and you've got everything that you've added. Another thing that's very useful is if you're setting timers. There are different times. Let's say you're baking something and you need to set a timer. Well, this, you just do it by voice. And the nice part about it is you don't have to be right on top of it like you do with your phone. You can be completely across the room and it's still able to kind of pick out, the trigger word, of course, is Alexa. the default one. And then you just tell it whatever you want, or you ask it a question, or whatever, you know, whatever it is, and it the voice recognition is extremely impressive. And the speaker itself is actually pretty good, considering how it's a small cylinder. It's only about 9 1/4 inches tall and about 3 1/2 inches in diameter. It has a little bit of heft to it. I did put up a video on YouTube, kind of a little rudimentary video unboxing it and going through a little bit, showing a little bit of the setup process, and then kind of playing with it a little bit afterwards. Do you need something like that? No, you don't need it, but I will say this, it's a very desirable device. My 90-year-old mother showed it to my parents, of course, and she wants one. You know, because she was having a lot of fun just asking it all kinds of different facts and questions and what have you. So, pretty interesting device. It's very impressive for what it is. And like I say, the speaker sounds good, considering the size of the thing. The speaker really sounds quite good. So, pretty desirable device, and you know, something that you can really kind of have fun with. So. Got that, but otherwise, since I've been home, I've just kind of been hanging out here at home, and I'm kind of taking a vacation from everything. I haven't even really been on line that much. You know, normally I would be kind of on the phone and at least kind of doing things on Facebook, and I, you know, the past few days I've, for whatever reason, is nothing, no plan or anything, I just haven't been online very much, so just guess I'm on vacation. So anyway, I'm gonna go ahead, I've got as I say, I've got a couple of voice files, so I'm gonna go ahead and start with a voice file from Joel. And now you may notice that this doesn't sound the same. You know, this microphone that I'm using is not my normal microphone. Normal microphone is out in the truck right now, and I'm, you know, it's late at night, and plus it's raining, and I don't really feel like going out there and getting it. So I can make do with the microphone that I'm using, and it has a completely different sound from the regular microphone. It's not as good, obviously, but it's useful. It'll work. And so this voice file from Joel, normally I would plug in the patch cable and record it directly from Voxer, but in this case I simply played it over the phone's the little speaker built into the phone. And, you know, using the microphone that I'm using right now, kind of up next to that speaker, so it's the quality is probably going to be a little bit different. So, anyway, here is Joel.
Hey Tom, Joel McLaughlin here. Just wanted to kind of give a quick review without revealing anything about the storyline of Star Wars The Force Awakens. J.J. Abrams did a fantastic job of living up to the franchise, as far as I'm concerned. I think, unlike the prequels, you will be very happy with how the movie is. It's a, in a lot of ways, it totally is a return back to the way Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back and all those were. So I think you'll be pleased if you go to see it, and I highly recommend it. So That's all I'm going to say, because saying much more will reveal too much.
Okay, well, thank you, Joel. I talked to my friend Gene that went and saw the Star Wars movie. He liked it as well, so but I don't know anything about it, really. So eventually, I don't know if I'll go and see it within the next couple of weeks, because obviously right now it's going to be, I'm assuming the theaters would be extremely busy, so I may end up waiting and just, you know, until, because it's probably going to be in the theaters for some time, I would think, if you, especially if you have the phenomena where people are going and watching it multiple times in a row. Back in 1977, whenever the original Star Wars movie came out, the very first one, that's what people were doing. There were a lot of people that were going, and they were seeing it, you know, just over and over and over again. And I think that's kind of happening, from what I understand, that's happening right now. And so you have people that are seeing it for the first time, and then plus people, the repeat viewers. So I'm assuming that at the present moment, that the theaters are probably pretty busy. So I don't know. I'm not, I don't have to see it right away, so either I'll eventually see it in a theater, or just wait and see it on a Blu-ray version, or you know, or maybe even rent it from, because it's probably never going to be on Netflix, but maybe able to rent it from a service like Vudu, for example. So. Or just get the Blu-ray at Redbox at some point. But, you know, like I say, I may, if it's still around in the theater, let's say in a month from now, whenever I come back home, once I, you know, because I go back to work on January 2nd. So if I come back home towards the end of the month of January for time off, then if it's, you know, it's possible by then that the kind of the hubbub will have died down a little bit, and it might be possible to just go in there and see it without being in a, you know, kind of jam-packed theater, or you know, it may be right now that, you know, people are buying tickets. You have to have the tickets ahead of time, or you're not even going to get in to see it. You can't just show up and expect to be able to get in. You might have to, at this point, you may have to be buying the tickets kind of ahead of time online or something. So I don't know, but I'll eventually see it. But sounds like, from everything that I've heard, and again, I don't know anything about the plot. I've kind of deliberately avoided any kind of spoilers or what have you, so I don't really know anything at all about the plot. So I'll just, eventually I'll see it, but like I say, I don't have to see it right at the, you know, be one of the first people to see it. That's not, I don't know. I, you know, I can kind of hold off on it, but it does sound like, you know, they did a good job with it. So anyway, thank you for the comment. So I've also got an email, as well as a voice comment from JR. So I'll just, before I play JR's voicemail, I'll read the email. It says, "Tom, I like the podcast. I would be interested in hearing weird or interesting stories from the road, or perhaps weird or interesting people you have met along the way." So usually, I don't know. Sometimes I'll talk about something that may have happened at some point. It kind of has to be a relevant thing, or if it's something that happened, if it's something that happens, kind of contemporaneously, or then. And then I kind of feel compelled to talk about it. I'll talk about it, but I don't know. I'm sure I've met interesting people, but at the you know there I guess what I'm saying is there has to be there has to be some reason for me to bring them up, and then I can talk about them. So. Anyway, let me go ahead and play JR's comment. So here is JR.
Hey Tom, JR here. Just wondering a couple things to get your thoughts on. One is why during political debates, which I could only watch last night's Democratic debate for about 2 minutes before it became so frustrating, why during those debates don't they take control of the individual microphones so that the candidates can't talk over each other? Secondly, when Joel calls or submits a voicemail, why does it sound like he's remodeling the kitchen? You know, Tom, like this, you know? Maybe you could ask Joel.
Okay, well, thank you, JR, for the comment. The second thing first, Joel is probably he's using Voxer, and so he's got his phone, and I think Joel can correct us, but I think sometimes Joel is either walking or he's doing other things while he's recording the comment. Because I've heard, kind of little noises in the background. So I think that's probably what's going on. To the first point, the reason that they don't close those other debaters, we'll put the word debaters in quotes, their microphones, they don't really want to close them down. And those, by the way, those are not real debates. Those are not designed to get at the truth. If whether it's a Democrat so-called debate or a Republican debate, they're not designed to get at the truth. They're designed as entertainment. It's sort of like WWE or WWF in the old days. They changed it to WWE. They want people kind of talking over each other and kind of not they want the conflict, in other words, especially on the Republican side. The Democrat side, they would maybe the same thing, but this Democrat debate, as I understand it, they deliberately scheduled it so that nobody would be watching, and nobody's going to be, very few people are interested in it anyway. The only reason that people have, that the Republican debates this year have gotten such good ratings is there's one reason. It's Donald Trump. Otherwise, that wouldn't get very good ratings. Those people are boring. But even though they've got their lines all practiced that they're gonna, kind of hurl insults at each other, and they're not just coming. It's not. With the exception of Donald Trump, they've practiced the lines, and somebody's probably written the lines for them, and they're just looking for opportunities to. Say the lines, and make it seem like that they're in charge or whatever, taking charge. Donald Trump, on the other hand, all this stuff is just right off the top of his head. He doesn't have any teleprompters. He doesn't have people writing his lines for him. He just, that's one of the things I love about him, is that he can just say what he thinks, and he's very quick at it. And he, you know, and he just, and when he says something and they try to say, come back and say it's a lie, every time it's proven to be true. So, but, you know, I'm not, I didn't even, I've watched a little bit of the very first debate, the first Republican debate. Just happened to see just a little bit of it, and but otherwise I've deliberately avoided watching any of them. Even though I like Donald Trump and all that, I've avoided watching any of it because you're not gonna get anything out of it. It's designed to as entertainment. It's, you know, it's kind of like for the same. It's trying to pick up on the same element that, you know, you're driving along the highway and, you know, a busy highway and there's some kind of an accident and the traffic all slows down. Why? Because people want to see if they can see some blood. You know, it's for the same, you know, and I may step on, if I've got NASCAR fans, it's the same reason people go to stock car races. They think they're going to see an accident. You know, and that's one of the reasons people go to those races is because they think there may be some sort of spectacular accident, especially the NASCAR stuff. So it's for that reason. So those aren't real debates. They want them talking over the top of each other, and they want to, you know, and it's all kind of... especially with both the Republican and the Democrats, the Republicans and the Democrats, it's designed. They don't really want you the debate to happen. What they're after is sort of a scripted way of kind of making what they want, sort of engineering the candidate that they want into the position. Of course, with the Republicans, it has just utterly failed. It's been an utter failure because they've done that. They were able to seem to be able to do it in the past. You know, kind of engineer the Bushes, for example. You know, engineer the candidate that they wanted in. You know, with McCain and what have you. And then Romney, engineer those guys in. It was their turn to be the candidate, and they kind of, the people that were running the Republican Party sort of rammed that through. Well, they've, you know, pardon the French, they've sort of screwed the pooch too many times. And I will not give the Republican Party another dime, and I've said that now for some number of years, and I mean it. I won't give them a dime. At this point, the Republican Party needs to be dissolved. It needs to go the way of the Whig Party that it replaced. You know, you look back in history, there was this, at one time, there was this Whig Party, and it went away, and the Republican Party replaced it. And so now it's time to replace the Republican Party because it's too soiled. But they're trying to, they've been able to manipulate, and their ability to manipulate at this point is gone. You know, with the majority of people, it's gone. The people that are running the Republican Party would love to get rid of Donald Trump because they wanted Bush. Bush was their guy. You know, Donald Trump has spent $300,000 approximately so far, and what are his poll numbers? Upwards of 40% or higher, 45% in some cases. Jeb Bush has spent over $25 million so far, and what does he have? Maybe 1%. So it's not working. It doesn't work. It's not working anymore. So those debates are worthless. They're just utterly worthless. I won't watch them. Won't waste. You know, I've got better things to do with my time than wasted on that. But you know, they want them to talk over each other. But they, you know, it's, if you watched even the very first Republican debate, you know, on Fox with the Megyn Kelly, she, you know, the whole thing was designed to take Trump out right there. They wanted to get rid of him right on the spot. And of course, every time they've tried that, it's backfired, and it's just driving them insane, because they, the things that they would normally be able to use to eliminate a candidate and just, you know, cause the candidate to, you know, his numbers to plummet, every time they've tried something like that, it's just, it's utterly backfired on them, and I think it's hilarious. So don't watch it. You know, my advice is to just turn it off. Don't watch it. It's a waste of time. You watch something like that, and it, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you watch something like that, and it would be, you know, you come away with a lower IQ score. So turn it, my advice is to shut it off. So, anyway, I've got a, so thank you, Mike. I have a another email here, so let me see if I can find it. Okay, is it going to load? Well, it's not loading. Well, I've got an alternative way of doing it. I may need to stop this, but let me see if I can find it here. Okay, where is it at? Nope, it's not there. Okay, let's go. I'm looking in my Gmail right now. Well, what's going on here? That didn't work. It may be necessary for me to stop this to get this to work right. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to stop this and see if I can't get this to my email to load. So be right back. Okay, I got it to work, so let me bring that back up. All right, so I got an email here from John from British Columbia. He says, "Hi, Tom. Just wanted to let you know that I enjoy listening to your podcast here while driving a truck in British Columbia. Are you hauling into Canada ever? Welcome to visit us." I haven't been to Canada. The last time I was in Canada, you know, driving a truck was way back in the late 90s. And I don't believe I've been back since. The company that I'm with right now does not, when I first came to work for them, they did have some loads that were going into Canada, but I, in recent years, I think that's kind of stopped. So, anyway, he goes on, "I've been trucking in this country since we immigrated as a family with four kids from Europe in 2004. Had a business out there in photography, graphic design, and printing, and was teaching ESL, that would be English as a second language, I believe, at a secondary school. So quite a different, more adventurous life here. Just changed jobs here. Had been hauling wood chips and ore with 8 and 9 axle trucks with a GVW, gross vehicle weight, up to 72,300 kilograms. And now I'm pulling a Super B train with milk from Kamloops to Abbotsford, British Columbia, 3 to 4 times a week, night run, and approximately 10 to 12 hours, depending on the weather. Merry Christmas," and that's from John. So thank you, John. John also sent a picture of his him standing kind of in front of his truck. So thank you very much, John. So I think that was all the email that I had. I kind of looked through it. you know, if you sent me an email and I've missed it, send it again. I try to look through these emails, and usually I'm able to spot the, you know, kind of the emails, but I get a lot of email, but and a lot of it is just sort of, you know, kind of commercial type email or people that are selling things. I get a lot of political stuff, you know, where they're trying to persuade me that how evil Trump is, you know, especially on the Republican side. there's a lot of that going on right now where they're, you know, and some of them, they're trying to do it, or they're, you have the thing where they're, you know, it's, let's say it's whoever it is, let's say it's Glenn Beck or whatever. Then, you know, there's this third party that it says it's from Glenn Beck, but it's this third party advertisement, you know, that they're, this third party is paying them to send the email, basically. And so you have that type of thing. And so there's lots and lots of manipulation, attempted manipulation, and I've gotten really good at spotting it. So when somebody's trying to manipulate me, kind of get me to click on a link, or they're trying to put negative, you know, kind of a negative spin on something into my mind, I've become expert at spotting it. And I suspect that a lot of people have over a period of time. I think that that's, you know, there's a lot of people that have really gotten good at sort of spotting when they're, you know, when they're being, somebody's trying to kind of engineer their loyalty. Either away from something or to something else, you know. So, anyway, I don't know. I'm done. I know who I'm going to vote for. If it's, you know, I'll hold my nose and vote for whoever the Republican candidate is, probably, if it, you know, if it's anybody other than Trump. If Trump was to run independently, I would probably vote for Trump. So, you know, I'm done with the Republican brand is ruined at this point. It's not conservative anymore. You know, even though they tried to pretend to be, you know, especially when they were calling for money, they tried to pretend like they were conservative, and oh, we're working to elect conservative people, blah 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 blah. No, they weren't. They were taking the money and then they were just doing whatever they wanted to with it. You know, so. As I say, at this point, it can just go away. You know, if Trump ends up being the Republican nominee, I vote for him. But if Trump runs independently, and then Cruz or somebody's a nominee on the Republican Party, I'll vote for Trump. I don't care. You know, there's a good chance I would vote for Trump. If he's running as an independent, there's a really good chance I'd vote for him. And I think that's true with a lot of people. The hell with the Republican Party. This is, you know, it's absolutely ridiculous what they've done. They're a lot of them are traitors, and there's a lot of traitors on the Democrat side as well. But it's not just limited to the Democrats. There's lots and lots in the Republican Party. So anyway, hope everyone has had a great weekend. Hope you have a great week coming up. And I will catch you later.
Remember, Trucker Tom is like Visa. He's everywhere you want to be.
Product reviews, restaurant reviews, photos, opinions, and more. Visit Trucker Tom's website at www.truckerphoto.com. You've been listening to Trucker Tom's podcast, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. All you have to do is send us an email to tom@truckerphoto.com.